So I started out as a sound man, then I went to the worship director, and then I went to the young adult pastor, and then I was the executive pastor. And this past February, my pastor handed me the baton and said that you are now going to be the lead pastor of our church. And so this is me getting, and I, as of February 1st, I became the lead pastor of Transformation Church. That's my pastor right there, Bishop Gary McIntosh, and he's walked with me. And behind them, that's my dad behind him, looking kind of like Moses, you see, with the gray hair and the Pharaoh. I think my dad's here too. Hey, Dad. Sorry. But anyway, that's me and my wife receiving. So I am officially the lead pastor of Transformation Church. It's one of the craziest churches in the whole world. Any Transformers in the building, make some noise. Like they're so crazy that I say, yo, I'm preaching an hour and a half away from home, and they get in buses and come. Like, I don't know what's wrong with them, but I appreciate you guys. So now I am the pastor of Transformation Church, and we get the awesome opportunity to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. It's been the most exciting journey of my life, seeing what God will do with somebody who says, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I'm going towards the perfected one. And I just encourage everybody. I don't know too many 28-year-old pastors, but God doesn't care about your age. He cares about your maturity. If you can get and do the things that nobody else is doing right now, God will see your heart. If you don't go after it, he'll give it to you. If you go after him, the word says in Matthew 6:33, if you seek first, not the platform, but you seek his face. If you seek him first, everything else will be added. I am a testimony. I'm showing you the highlights, the good stuff, but under all this good stuff I showed you, there was some bad stuff. There was addiction to pornography. There was a felony case. Yeah, a felony case. There was all kinds of stuff, but God says, I looked past your faults and I'm going to see your need. And if you continue to press into me, I'll do things with your life that no man can take credit for. So I want to encourage you tonight. You came to the right place and God's got a word just for you. Somebody say, just for me? Yes, I just said just for you. Okay. So tonight, I'm excited to be able to minister the word of God to you. I'm going to try to keep this short because I know that God has something that he wants to do throughout the today and tomorrow night. So I don't want to hold you till midnight to where you're thinking like, oh God, I'm not going back there again. But I believe God can be power packed and potent in a short amount of time. And, if your heart is open and you're ready to receive, he can do something that will literally, I want to give you a secret. Tonight can change the course of the rest of your life. I want you to hear me. Tonight can change the course of the rest of your life. It's already changed the course of one person's life. She came in here tonight thinking she was going to worship God. And she got a man. Okay. What? Glory. Come on and praise him. No, but for real, I want you to see that just the same way that she had an encounter with her future groom, God calls you the bride of Christ. And tonight you can have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that changes you forever. Amen. So can I pray for you real quick? Just everybody, if you would lift your hands, if you feel comfortable. Father God, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for this awesome opportunity to be able to share with your people. Holy Spirit, you know I'm nothing without you. So right now I need you to come in and help me communicate what you've given me. Tag team back again. Holy Spirit, do what you have to do. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, we all agree. Somebody say amen. 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 So tonight I'm going to talk to you about the God of awkward transitions. The God of awkward transitions. And I know that sounds awkward, and I said it like that because my message is about being awkward. But as I heard that the theme of this conference was, I can't stop. Everybody say, I can't stop. You didn't say that like you meant it. Somebody say, I can't stop. Well, I came to the conclusion that a lot of us do stop, though. Like, how many of you have started something and stopped it this year? Come on, look, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. No, you're not. Because you started that and you did it for 2 days and you stopped. You got I can't stop tattooed on your chest, but you stopped. Okay. And I said, God, what's going on? You're trying to move people out of wrong friendships into right friendships. You're trying to move people out of one sphere of thinking into another sphere of thinking. You're trying to take people from being the follower to being the leader. But why do they keep getting stopped? He said, because they're not trusting me in the whole process. He says, because when my children get uncomfortable, they give up. When it gets awkward, they stop. When I get in a moment where people are looking at me funny, I just say, never mind, never mind. I was going to witness to you, but you don't like it? Never mind, never mind. And God says, I need you to know that there's going to be times in your journey when you go from point A to point B to point C to point Z that you are going to come against opposition that will want to make you stop. And you will come into situations that will be, everybody say, awkward. But God said, you can take courage because I'm the God of awkward transitions. I'm the God that will stand with you when everybody else is not standing with you and say, now what? I'm still here. I'm still behind them. I'm still for them. I still have a plan for you. You know, one of the most crazy things is when you go up, have you ever been like grade school and like somebody was messing with you or somebody was doing something and you go to your friends and like, we gonna go tell him. We gonna go tell him. He ain't gonna mess with us no more. And your friends pumping you up behind you like, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. And then you go up to him and be like, hey, Jerome, I just want to let you know that I ain't taking this no more. Ain't that right? See, in that moment where it got awkward, we're used to people not being there for us. In the moment we have to stand, we're used to just having to stand alone. But I came to tell you that God is the God of awkward transitions. In the time where it's uncomfortable, in the time where you're the only student in your school reading your Bible at lunch, in the time when everybody else is trying to get in relationship and God told you to stay because he was preserving you for somebody special, in the time where everybody else is dedicating all their time to looking at what's happening on E and MTV and God's got you on YouTube following Pastor Mike and Pastor TJ and what God is saying is everybody doesn't have to agree because I know what's on the other side of your awkward transition. And so I need everybody to understand that as you begin to really follow God, I dare say it like this. Many of us have not really followed God, not because we didn't want to. It's because it was awkward. I feel to praise in this Walmart because I just found $20 in my pocket. And at the moment where my natural reaction is to just say, thank you, Lord, out loud, I automatically begin to think, what will people think about me? They're going to think I'm awkward. And so we stop. We put a pause. We don't move in what we really know. Let me just ask you, how many people have felt to do something, but you didn't do it because other people would think it was awkward? Let's be honest. And what I want you to understand that God, all throughout his word, used people who everybody else thought it was awkward. And he stood with them in that situation, in that place. And he said, I'm going to stand with you because they don't know what's on the other side of this awkward transition. So tonight, I want to help somebody that's going from point A to point Z. There's somebody, I don't know, but somebody's pulling to me. There's some world changers in this room tonight that are literally not going to be in the same place next year. I mean, literally, there is going to be, you're going to look around next year and people are going to be like, I don't even remember how you used to be. But for that to happen, you have to rely on the God of awkward transitions. Everybody say, I rely on the God of awkward transitions. So let me help you with this. There's some things, some memes and some different things that I found that are just really, really hilarious. There's this one. It's the awkward moment when the family picture, goes wrong. They were trying to swing the family. And as you can see, the baby is about to do a torpedo dive into the sand. That's the awkward moment. Now, many of us, you know, my parents, before internet and all this other stuff, they believed in giving us good old whoopings. And I'm not condoning that to anybody, but I got them. And so I know what this next one feels like. Go ahead and put that on the screen. This is that awkward moment when your mom smacks you in public and you don't want to cry. I said, it's awkward. Has anybody ever experienced that awkward moment where somebody's walking down one side of the hallway and you're walking down the other and you try to go, excuse, like, and y'all both start just dancing together because it was just awkward. Okay. Or what about this one? What about that awkward moment when, you think somebody's waving at you? That happened to me today. Seriously. Or that awkward moment, fellas, when you go up to a woman and say, so when's the baby due? And then you hear, wah, the baby's already here. Fellas, just FYI, don't ever. Okay? Those are awkward moments. But what about the awkward moment when God calls you to stand and do something that nobody's done and nobody's going to confirm what God told you to do? That is an to stand and say, I'm not dating for the rest of this year because I feel like God's trying to heal my heart. The awkward moment to say, I'm going to spend an hour in the Word of God every day. The awkward moment that I'm going to get off of social media for a time. Or the awkward moment I'm going to call my dad who's never been in my life and forgive him. I'm that friend, that person, that coach, that teacher, that former relationship, I'm going to mend it. I'm going to act like Jesus. It's an awkward moment, and most of us have felt that, but we stopped. But today, I want you to understand that God has a plan for you. So I want to give you my first point today. The reason you can trust the God of the awkward transition is because he's omniscient. If you've never seen this word, God is omniscient. It means he's all-knowing. It comes from the word omniscience. That means he knows everything. The thing that you got to understand about God is that he knows what tomorrow holds, what yesterday had, what you're in right now. And so when he tells you to do something that seems awkward, what he's trying to do is say, this is the key to what I see in front of you. So many of us can't figure why God would ask us to give up our best friend. She's my bestie. We've been friends since the second grade. Like you're in that mode. And God says, because this summer, she's going to become very perverted. And you and her are going to start getting into things that'll lead you down 15 years of habits. And I know it's awkward now for you to give this up. But I see the people that are going to build you. I see the people who are going to sharpen you. I see the people who are going to push you into destiny. I know it's awkward now. But I'm the God who's all knowing. And so many times, because we don't have a relevant relationship with God, we don't trust in him who was, is, and is to come. We trust in what we can see. So I can see her, I can see him, I can see the money, I can see this stuff. And God's saying, I need you to see me. I need you to see that I'm the same God that told Moses to go up to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go. And then he had to do it after 10 plagues. I'm the same God that after they got out of the wilderness, I had to part a sea so they could walk across. See, I saw all of that when I asked him to go tell Pharaoh. But until you start obeying God, you can't walk in everything that God has for you. Some of you need to understand today that God sent me here to tell you that God's got you. He's got you. He knows. I know you want to be in the NFL, but God has your purpose. I know that you plan to be an actor and all. God will use every desire that he's put on the inside of you to fulfill the purpose in your life. But you have to know that it's not going to come how you plan it to come. How many people have made a plan and it never worked out? He said, every day, man. I'm sorry. But what you need to know is God tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And then it doesn't stop and say plans to get on your nerves. It says plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Let me help you. God's plans for you are good. Woo, that excites me. God's plans for, you know what? I wanted to be a music producer. I wanted to be producing for Beyonce and Maroon 5 and Bon Jovi and whoever else was going to pay me. I was going to produce for them all. And it wasn't a hobby for me. I was actually getting paid doing it. And God said, yeah, that's nice. But do you want my will or do you want your will? See, because, and I wish somebody would have told me this, but I'm going to give you a secret. God's will for your life has provision. Your will for your life has a whole bunch of stress. Because your will, you have to figure it out. His will, he's already figured it out, and he has provision for the vision he has for your life. So when you start conferring with the God who is all-knowing, you begin to get a trust like, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about who my friends are. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to work. God said the birds don't even worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink. How much more for his children? Am I using unnecessary energy on if I can get Sonic tonight? Am I stressing about where I'm going to lay my head tonight? God says that because you're in your will. Start trusting in the will that I have for your life. So there will be some transitions that are awkward, but when you meet an awkward transition, you have to know, you know what? I am sitting here and this girl just dumped me. She dumped me. Me. But I'm not about to get mad. I'm not about to get frustrated. This must be God because he knows the plan he has for my life. Why did I have to move to another state? I hate this. I hate Joplin. But you don't know, God may have moved your family for your purpose. I want to help you to understand, even people that are here from Transformation Church, I want you to hear this, that God is in the details of your life if you can trust that he's all knowing. Somebody just say, God knows it all. And he's got me. I want you to see this in Isaiah 46:10. Take this scripture down. Isaiah 46:10. It says, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, or I do whatever I wish. I want everybody to see this, that God's is in the future today. He's already at your wedding day right now. He already sees your kids right now. He already saw you moving into the mansion right now. He already saw you walking and blessing whole neighborhoods in the business. He already sees that right now. Why would I confer with somebody who doesn't see the future? Why won't I confer with the God who already is there? And the reason I want you to understand this as young people, old people, whoever you are in this place, is that you have to trust that God's already there because you're going to meet some awkward stuff right here. But when you understand that we serve the God of awkward transitions, it makes you say, you know what? This is awkward, but I got to move past it because I know there's something else. And this is weird, but I got to move past it because God has something else. And this is frustrating, but I got to move past it because I know there's something else. And when you know where your trust lies, you know that God has a plan for your life. It's easier It's easier to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to stress about this. I'm not going to be mad about this. I'm not going to go rant on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram about my situation. You know, our generation is so funny. It's like we can't even internalize nothing. Like something goes bad, we go straight to Facebook, Instagram, somebody. If you one friend leave you, I hate fake people. Like everybody's fake now. Like everybody is fake. Friends, keep them close because they'll stab you in the back. What? That don't even make sense. And God says what you're using energy on to be mad about, I'm using to position you for purpose. Uh-oh. What you're mad about was on purpose to get you in a place that you wouldn't have got to if I hadn't have moved some stuff around. See, every one of your setbacks is a set up. I want you to understand that God is not looking. See, his plan for you is good. So when anything happens that's bad, you know it's not over. Because it has to end good. So in this time of awkward transitions, you can't stop. And you have to know that God knows everything. Let me give you the second point. God is not concerned about our awkward feelings. He cares more about our accurate positioning. I know that's a lot, but I'm going to say it to you like this. God will move you out of a place that's comfortable to get you in a place of blessing. He'll move you out of a place that's easy to a place that's going to cause you to flourish and grow. He'll move you out of a place where you don't even have to think about it to a place where you gotta work so that you can become everything that God has called you to be. He is not concerned that God, this sucks. I hate this. I hate coming here. I hate doing this. And God said, but while you're hating it, I'm making you. What you, the very thing that you're hating, it's the very thing that's making you into the person that's going to be qualified for the blessing I see up ahead. See, you got to remember, he knows what's up ahead. And so let me give you a practical example in my life. I was in high school and I would do all the pep rallies. They'd be like, Michael, come up here. We want you to get out there and act a fool in front of the entire school. And me like a dummy is like, okay. And I'd go out there and I'd be like, hey, Edison, we're brother. And every weekend I would be in front of thousands of people speaking and talking. And I was like, this is stupid. They don't pay me. I don't get no extra credit for this. I don't even get no extra, you know, scoop of dressing on chicken fried steak day. And it, our chicken fried steak day was the bomb. I don't know about y'all's. But anyway, I guess it wasn't. But I was like, what are you doing this? And then God took me into music and I was being able to go in. I was traveling out of high school. My primary instrument was drums. And so I was traveling in the 11th and 12th grade. I would leave school on Thursdays and fly to New York, fly to LA, fly to Mohegan Sun, fly to the Bahamas. I was playing with a major artist at that time. And I was getting paid over $1,000 for 1 hour of doing what I love to do. $1,000 to play the drums. What? They gave me $80 a day to eat. And the dollar menu just came out? Some of y'all didn't get to experience the full glory of the actual dollar menu. It used to be a dollar. I was like $1.19, a dollar. You know, I got frustrated. I pulled up one time and said, "Get my money back. I don't want your little stinky sound." Anyway, but I was doing all of this stuff, and I was like, "God, what is all this for?" Now, when I look back over my life, God positioned me, took me out of one arena. And put me in another arena. He said, Michael, everything that you were doing was positioning you for what I saw for you. Now I stand in front of 700, 800 people every Sunday, bringing the word of God and countless other people online. I do that every Sunday. And now it's not a work. It's not a job, because God made me in a place that I didn't even know what was happening, because he saw the plan he had for my life. Why are you so against God making you into his purpose for you? That's why it's uncomfortable to just go to the parties and do what everybody else is doing, because it's not making you into who he's called you to be. That's why he's calling you to read this book, and you got this book and it just keeps coming. Man, I'm going to read that one day. Man, I'm going to read that book one day. And God's trying to give you secrets and keys, because he's trying to make you so that your transition won't have to be as awkward as it can be. But it comes with obedience. Everybody say obedience. God's not concerned about our awkward feelings. He wants us to be in right positioning. Genesis 12:1 tells us a story about Abraham. And I'm going to just read a little bit of this scripture. You can study Abraham's life and see what happens when you start becoming obedient, even when it's awkward. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Awkward. You just told me to leave my daddy's house where I have food, all of my family that I know, and go to the land that you will show me. You ain't even going to drop no pen or give me a GPS or nothing. You're going to tell me to get up and go to the land that you're going to show me? God, I thought you were all knowing. I thought you had more planning than that. And God says, I'm looking for obedience. I'm not looking for agreement. So what the word said to Abraham, It said, Genesis 12:2, God is a good God, because he doesn't give us instructions without giving us a promise. So in verse 1, he said, get up, go to the land I'm going to show you. But then look what he promised him. And because we're all heirs, the Bible tells us that Abraham is the father of our faith. And so whatever God says to Abraham, we can claim for our own life. I want you to see what he said to Abraham. He said the promise, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. God promised Abraham, if he obeyed an awkward instruction, that he would bless everything that he did. Now, that would be worth doing something awkward. If God promised on the other side of your awkward transition, on the other side of you forgiving somebody, on the other side of you going on a missions trip, on the other side of you giving generously to a church, on the other side of you not doing something, on the other side of this, God says, I'll bless every single thing you think you want to do. That's the type of blessing he wants us to walk in, generation. The anything we touch, the Midas touch blessing. He wants us to walk in that, but he said, I can't give it to you till you trust me with every awkward transition. Abraham had to say, I'm leaving everything that is comfortable to see what God has for me. My question is to you today is, will you do the same? And I hear God even tugging on some people's hearts right now. There's some things that God has already started to tell you to do. He told you to get up under this ministry, or get a part of Gap 412, or he told you to go to a camp, or he told you to do something. He's told you to go and pursue that relationship. He told you to get in his word. And God's saying, will you do what's unfamiliar so that I can bless everything that you do? See, the crazy thing about Abraham that most people don't talk about is that Abraham was obedient, kinda. Has anybody ever been kinda obedient? Like, you did the initial thing, but you didn't follow all the way through? See, God told Abraham very clearly, leave all your family. But Abraham was so uncomfortably in an awkward position that he brought a family member named Lot. And I want you to see this very clearly, because the third point I want to make to you is, don't invite a mistake into your future just because the transition is awkward. Oh, y'all playing. Y'all didn't come to hear God tonight. Don't invite that girl that is no good for you into your future of trying to change. Because God said she's not supposed to step over this one. You're supposed to leave her back there. He fine. And he got a 7-pack. I don't even know where they do that at. But God said he's not the one that's going to cherish you and keep you and lead your household. Leave him there. Well, God's told me to fast and pray. And Johnny, I really feel that you're supposed to fast and pray with. No, he's not. Don't invite a past mistake into your future just because it's an awkward transition. Well, me and my wife used to handle money like this, and God's given me a raise and all this stuff. And God said, stick to the budget I gave you at that level. I gave you a raise because I got something ahead, but you don't want to do it. So you keep the same habits of spending as you go. I'm talking to some of the older people right now because you've been praying to get out of debt. And God's saying, I gave you instruction, and you inviting old habits into your new because it's an awkward transition. When you start to understand that you're not supposed to do that because it has repercussions. See, this is the thing that Abraham didn't understand, that partial obedience is disobedience. When you don't do it how God said to do it, it is disobedience. And, you know, for me, I'm not going to talk about none of y'all. I'm going to talk about for me. But there's been some things that God told me to do, and I did the first half of them. And I didn't do the second half of them, and I wasn't able to receive the blessing of obedience. But I convinced myself that I did God a favor. God, you told me to break up with her, and you broke up with her to go get with some other people. That wasn't what I told you. I said break up with her to seek my face. And so when we start moving in partial obedience, what God says is, I can't count that towards you doing what I ask you to do. That's disobedience. And Abraham brings Lot with him. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all the stuff. But literally, there was things that God was not able to do until Lot left. God expanded Abraham all directions when he started to be obedient. When he told Lot, you go over there and get that whole country. You take that. God said, thank you. Thank you. Do you know what? It's crazy that I found out as I did research that Abraham was 75 years old before he obeyed God. That means you can be old and crusty and disobedient. Oh, let me help you. Kids aren't just disobedient. All grown-ups are is kids with grown bodies. And what happens is that many people, the sad thing about Christians today and many people that won't be said for anybody in this room is most of us don't find out how to truly walk in obedience until it's almost too late. 75 years old? And now I get to expand? But what if God's plan was to expand you at 15? At 20? At 24? He wanted to expand you, but you have to be obedient. And so I'm encouraging you, don't invite past mistakes into your future just because this season is a little awkward. The reason I'm bringing this word is because there's some people that after this night, God is about to start speaking to you. Even tonight, he's going to speak to you. TJ, Courtney, God's about to start speaking to you. I'm telling you, this ministry is going to grow. There's things he's put inside of you that are going to grow, but there will come awkward transitions. Talking to everybody at Transformation, everybody that's here from another church. There's going to be an awkward transition. And at that moment, you have a choice whether to go forward and move past it, to stay where you're at, or run and hide. And I want you to know that the key is not running and hiding, because you have backup. You have reinforcement. You have the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one who knows the plan for your life. Can I prove it to you? Can I prove it to you? Can I prove it to you? I started to look in the Bible. I said, God, give me a full revelation of this. He said, Michael, if you look at almost any story in the Bible, he said, I was the God of the awkward transition. I said, okay, God, show me. He took me to Mary and Joseph. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was engaged like y'all, and then she came to me and said, "Hun, I'm pregnant." And he says, "What?" Now, we ain't nothing happened here by the Holy Spirit. You say, "What?" This is kind of what I imagine the face of Joseph looking like. Like, this is that awkward moment when the angel appears to you and your fiance and tells you that she's pregnant by someone else named the Holy Spirit and you should name the baby Jesus. That's awkward. But Joseph did not divorce, even though the word tells us that he wanted to quietly give Mary the deuces. All right, that's how you're going to be? All right, cool. I'll see you on the flip side. Don't call me, though. Don't call me, though. Like, I saw that's what he wanted to do, but God said no. And Joseph was able to press past an awkward transition. And because he pressed past an awkward transition, every one of us are still talking about Joseph and Mary thousands and thousands of years later, and they give birth and was able to raise the Son of God. Now, what would have happened if he would have stopped and said, "I'm not going no further. This is awkward. You're talking about the Holy Ghost. That's the homie HG. You slept with HG. I know you did it." I see how he be looking at you at the watering hole. I told you. You understand? I would have gone off. Always coming over here to get some unleavened bread. I knew he. No, I'm just playing. But what Joseph did is he had to go to the God of the awkward transition. I think back to Peter when they were on the boat and they were rowing, and then Jesus called them out. Let me show you this awkward. This is that awkward moment when Jesus calls you out onto the water and you start doubting and you begin to sink. I mean, I can literally hear every time I see this picture, I hear, "Oh!" Like, I literally hear that happening. But what happened is, because Peter, the word tells us that when he began to sink, because he was looking at the winds and the waves, because everybody else wasn't doing what he was doing, he was out there on territory that nobody else was. All his friends was in the boat and they were in safety. But God called him out to take a step of faith and do something that no man had ever done. And then he started looking at the distractions of the waves. When God reached down to him, the thing that nobody really talks about that blesses me is that Peter reached back to him. And he grabbed him and he said, "God, I know that you're the God that can bring me through this awkward transition. I'm out here on nothing and I feel like I'm sinking, but I'm gonna keep trusting you." Because Peter went through that awkward transition, faith has been birthed in the people that were back in the boat. I want you to see that when you step out and believe God, the people who are watching you, they get in through with faith. Something happens to them that they start saying, "If he can do it, then I can do it. If TJ can do it, then I, if Natalie can do it, if John can do it, if Trish can do it." See, you got to understand that your obedience in this awkward transition, somebody's watching you. It may be a little brother, it may be a sister, it may be a family member, it may be a parent. And they're saying, "Do they really believe the God that they go to that church and worship all the time?" And God is saying to you, "If you trust me in this awkward transition, I'll be able to help others and I'll bring you out." I think of the last one. There's a guy in the Bible named Jairus. And Jairus had a child that was very sick. And he went to go get Jesus. And he asked him to come and heal his child. What ended up happening was that on the way to healing the child, there was a woman with the issue of blood. And she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and we all know about this, and she got healed and all this other stuff. But what it did was it delayed Jesus from getting to Jairus's child. This is that awkward moment when Jesus is on the way to heal your daughter, And the woman with the issue of blood distracts him with her own healing just long enough for you to find out your daughter's dead. What happens when there's an awkward moment that causes an area of your life to die? What happens when a friendship that you thought was going to be forever, God says you'll never have it again? What happens when a dream you thought, I mean, you've been putting it on your wall since you were 2 years old, and God says, that's not what I want to do. You got to let that die. What happens? Are you going to stop? Are you going to give up? Are you going to move away when God says to you, hey, listen, I know the plan that I have for you. And I know it doesn't always come in your timing. I bet if I was Jarius, I would have gone off on Jesus, son of God and all. I said, bro, I'm going to fight you. My child would have been healed if you would have just shown up on time. And I see Jesus standing there like, but you don't know me. I'm outside of time. See, because what you think is dead only needs a touch from me. And it can live again. See, this is the thing that I found out if you look at the life of all these people, that if you will sacrifice something in one moment that's awkward, if it's yours, God will raise it back to life. Do you have to understand that everything in your life, it may not be perfect. It may not be comfortable. It may be frustrating. It may cause you to have to do something you don't like to do. But God is standing there and say, if you trust me in this awkward moment, I will take things that are dead. Some of y'all have relationships with family members that are dead, but you're still holding unforgiveness. And God said, give it to me. Let that thing go. And watch how God, I have testimonies of people that didn't talk to their parents, and now they have great relationships. Brothers and sisters estranged, all kinds of stuff that happened, but they had to at some moment trust God in that awkward transition. Today, I want everybody under the sound of my voice to hear the word that God has for me to say to you. That the plan and the purpose of God for your life will come to pass. But you will meet awkward transition. When you meet the thing that makes you want to run, you have to remember the theme of this conference. I can't stop. When you meet a situation where the bank tells you no five times for the house loan, you say, I know this is awkward that I'm coming back to ask again. But I can't stop because I serve the God of an awkward transition. When the doctor said we can't have children, Paul, Shantae, just wave your hand right there. These two right here, the doctor told them they could not have children. They said, God, I know what you placed in my heart. I know that I just got this report and it's awkward right now to look my wife in her face and say, it's going to be okay, baby. And I'm breaking on the inside. But God, I'm going to trust you because I know that I don't see what's up ahead, but you do. And you're the God of this awkward moment, this frustrating moment, this depressing moment. But right now, I know that you have everything. And right now, they have a son that is more talented and more amazing. They were able to have children. You can give God some praise for that because he's the God of awkward transitions. I want everybody to hear me very clearly that this next season of your life, I don't care if you're in fifth grade, I don't care if you're 50, I don't care if you're 150, hear me. What God is about to do in this next season of your life is about to take you. I literally saw in the spirit as I was coming up here, the enemy literally tried to attack my body the entire way up here. Like literally, by the time my wife was praying in the spirit for me, along with my assistant, Raheem, as we came in, because I mean, I was breaking out in cold sweats, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was an attack because the enemy did not want me to deliver this word for somebody, because somebody was going to meet something next week that you were going to get there and you're going to be like, man, I need to give up. Man, this is too hard. Why does this keep happening to me? And you're going to remember. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is just that awkward moment. This is that awkward moment where I have to stand and trust God. This is that awkward moment where I got to get to the church and get an accountability. This is that awkward moment where I need to get to an altar and just lift my hands and say, God, take it all. Take my life. Take my mind. Take my will. Take everything. Because on the other side of this awkward transition or this awkward moment is a blessing that's going to bless others. Is a life that you dream of. Is a place where God is going to use you to look back and be a testimony. When I think back over my life and all the awkward moments, some of you, okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I had a very awkward moment in my life where God literally is the hardest test of my life. Told you I wanted to be a music producer. I think it was 2011, 2012. I met a guy. I was traveling. I got into some relationships with some other people, good people. Flew me to New York. 2 weeks, 29th floor, middle of Times Square. I was blown away. Doing showcases for Diddy and major record labels and all this other stuff. I presented music to him. Met a guy down there. Blown away by my music. Got back to Tulsa. And this guy offered me a six-figure contract at 22 years old. To produce music for him for 1 year. Six figures for 1 year. And I had the presence of mind to pray. I thank God for my mother and my father who taught me how to pray and ask God about everything. Listen, don't make decisions just because they're good. Get the plan in mind of God. I had the presence of mind to pray, and this is what I felt like God told me. He said, if you do it, you'll be successful, but I'll take my hand off of everything you do. Scared the crap out of me. I mean, literally. On the toilet. No, I'm just playing. Just playing. But I wasn't even able to tell my wife at the time because it was awkward. She probably been like, boy, God will forgive us. No, she wouldn't have done that. Well, maybe. But it was the most awkward moment of my life where I had to choose between being paid to do my dream and following God with no plan. When I look back of where I am, what God has done in my life, and the people I've been able to help and influence and turn to God, and the joy and peace that I have at night when I go to sleep, and the future that I know God has for me, all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you for being the God of my awkward transition. And tonight I want to pray for some people who are in an awkward place. You may be between jobs. You may have a ministry that it's in one place and God's telling you to fold it up and go serve under somebody else. You may be in a marriage where it seems like it's just come to this point where it's like, God, what do I do? And now God's telling you to go to marriage counseling. You said, that's awkward. I got to put all my business out there. And God said, watch what I do. If you trust me in the awkward transition. Some of you are young men that are going to make the decision in a society where everything is sexually charged. You're going to make a decision to live a pure life and not have sex until you're married. And God, you're going to feel, that's awkward. I'm a man. I have needs. And God said, I know. I put them there. But he said, if you can trust me in this awkward transition compared to what everybody else is doing, I have a woman of God that's going to be everything that you need. That you're going to see her every time. She can have no makeup on and you say, Jesus. But he said, I can't trust you until you trust me. I can't trust you with all that I have. Some of you are in an addictive lifestyle where you're going to have to go back to people that have seen you do dirt for years. Say, I'm not doing that no more. And it's going to be awkward. Man, you fake. Man, you the one that got me on this. You the one that da-da-da. And it's going to be awkward, but you're going to be able to say, I know. But the God that's changing my life has told me I can't do this anymore. And it's going to be awkward on Friday nights to be at home alone. watching reruns of a show you hate. It's going to be, no, I'm serious, because those are the times when we usually go back, in the times where it's like, man, nobody's calling me. Anybody ever send out a text message, what y'all doing tonight, and send it to everybody in your phone? But God told you, this is a season of seclusion. This is a season separated. This is a season where I'm about to speak to you. I'm going to give you plans and wisdom right now. And because it's awkward, we usually turn back to the thing that's comfortable. But today, God told me as I pray for you, that He's going to supernaturally give people the ability to stand in awkward situations. I see husbands and wives standing to be debt free when nobody else is doing it. And watch this. You're going to say it out loud. See, that's when it's awkward. See, it's not awkward when it's just in your head. It's awkward when other people know. Me and my wife will be debt free by the end of 2015. That's something that me and my wife have been declaring. My whole staff knows it. All y'all know it now. Everybody knows it. Why? Because I serve the God of awkward transition. Do I know how it's going to happen? No. But I'm out here walking on water. And I believe the God that has delivered me from the stuff that he's from pornography, the God that delivered me from lying, the God that he's the same God that's going to deliver me to being debt free. Why? Because I want to bless his people. I serve the God of awkward transition. When the bill comes next week, I have a choice to say, well, there it goes. I'll be debt free 2018. Or I can say, I serve the God of this awkward transition. God, I know this looks weird, but I'm going to do it. Some of you may be in an alternate lifestyle of homosexuality, lesbianism, and you've claimed it. You've told people, you put it out there, and the tugging on your heart is going to say, you know that's not me. You know that's not right. God's going to begin to fill those voids, and then it's going to cause you to have to go back to that same group and same community. Say, guys, I've been faking. I was searching. I was trying to fill a hole that only God could fill. And it will be awkward. And they'll talk about you. And they'll persecute you. And they'll say stuff about you. But what God says is stay strong, baby. Stay strong. Stay strong, son. Because I'm standing right here. When they're coming after you, they're not coming after you alone. I'm right here behind you. I'm standing and I'm watching over every word so that I can perform it. Because he's the God of your awkward transition. I'm going to read one scripture to you. And then I'm going to pray for every person that needs prayer in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Even in this moment right now, I hear God saying that he's about to change, literally, the course of people's life tonight. Through this moment, you're going to have the audacity, the fortitude to stand in situations that nobody else wants to stand in, because you know who's got your back. Can you please turn with me to Romans 8:31? And if y'all have the message version, that would be awesome. Because I just want them to hear it like this. Romans 8:31, message version. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't do gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with my God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, no trouble, no hard times, no hatred, no hunger, no homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, no transition, not even the worst sin listed in Scripture can separate us from God. If God be for you, I know the Scripture says, who can be against you? But my brother made a remix and I like it a little better. If God be for you, who cares? Who cares what they say? Who cares who leads? Who cares what it costs? If God is for you, who cares? God, I'm going to serve you because I know you're for me. And if he gave the ultimate sacrifice of his son, what else would he not do for you? So I know it's going to take some boldness and some courage to step out and walk away from all your boys who doing it this way, or walk away from all the things and everything that everybody else is watching on TV. There are certain things I say, I'm not watching it. But don't you want to be in the know? No, I don't got to know that to reach purpose and destiny. Because if God be for me, who cares? There are people that did not think I was qualified to pastor and lead a sheep. Like a real one, bad, like a real sheep, let alone people. But there came a point when I had a person in the time of our transition from me coming to be the pastor. So this is a person who prophesied over my life, said, God is about to take you to awesome places. I just see you elevating. 6 months later, I found out that I was going to be the pastor of the church. She came to me and said, Pastor made the right decision for the church, but the wrong decision for my family. We're leaving the church. Somebody close to us. And at that moment, did it hurt my heart? Yeah. But I could have ran and hid. But I said, I know I'm called. If God be for me, who cares? I'm gonna love him. I'm gonna speak. Send you a Christmas card. Even I didn't even send you a Christmas card before, but now I am. Why? Because I know God has a plan. And even though it's awkward right now, I got to get through this moment because I can't stop. Right now, if everybody would stand to your feet. And right now, I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Just say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through this message? You could just say it out loud. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to me? And I want you to listen. And tonight I came on assignment to pray for every person, because the Holy Spirit's already in this place. Like literally, I feel that there's something that's about to happen that's amazing in this place. For every person that's been stuck in an area because it's been awkward, or any person that needs the boldness because they know that they feel things are about to come that they're going to have to stand strong in the midst of. I want to pray for you. God said tonight that he's about to give supernatural boldness to every person that has faith to believe. That when it comes, when the awkward moment comes, when the girl calls you out, when the guy tells you you ain't nothing, when this stuff happens, God's saying, I'm going to raise it up on you. I'm the one that knows everything. I got a plan for your life. Don't invite that old thing into this new thing. I'm about to do something that nobody's ever seen. I'm not caring about how you feel. I want you in right position because I got a blessing for you. I'm the God of your awkward transition. If you know you need prayer tonight, because you want God to empower you by his Holy Spirit so that you don't stop, that you reap purpose, I want you to come meet me at this altar right now. Come on, from all over this place. If that's you, if it's not you, you can stay right where you are. But I'm going to pray for those who feel that. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Go back to take my heart. And mold it. Take my mind and transform it. Take my will, conform it.
Conform it
to yours.
To yours. To yours.
To your eyes, oh Lord.
Okay, check this out. Because of everybody's obedience that came up here, I want to give you some good news. And not for anybody else. You can receive this as well. But y'all took a step of faith. You said, y'all took a step. You said, I know that I can't do this on my own. I need God to get through these awkward transitions. Like, I know that I've tried and I've ran and I've stopped and I moved and I didn't move when I was supposed to and I didn't obey. But I need you, God, to get through these awkward transitions. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying over every person at this altar. The next 12 months are going to be the most seamless, easy months of your life. This is why. Because what looked like a problem will no longer be a problem. It's going to be something that God is going to literally jump and push you through. And I want you to hear me say this very clearly, because there's a lot of people up here that have been depressed. Literally, I mean, I see your spirit broken, because it's like, God, why does this keep happening? Why do I feel like I take 2 steps forward and then I take 5 steps back? God said, tonight, you're going to rely on the God of the awkward transitions. He said he's about to raise you up. The addictions that you've had, the pain that you've had, the things that have literally been you can't get over. God said he's now about to come into those awkward moments. He's going to speak to you, and all you have to do is obey. Now hear me. Obedience is the key to walking this ease out. This next 12 months, I literally see it. I see people literally, and I want you to go with me in the picture for a second. I literally see people pressing through like obstacles, and then all of a sudden they disappear. And you don't even know how to act, because you've been so used to pressing that you haven't even walked upright and just been able to enjoy. But God said this next season, there's about to be an enjoyment to life. That he's coming to literally, because you're not going to look at the obstacles anymore. You're not going to press through those. You're going to say, no matter what, I know who's behind me. And if I can't push it, he can. You serve the God of awkward transitions. So I want everybody at this altar to lift your hands. And if you're the audience and you want to receive this too, just lift your hands. I'm about to pray over you. And after we pray, this is going to mark. You're going to remember this day, because this is the day that things begin to change in your life. This is the day where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords begins to come in and heal, renew, deliver, and set you free. Father, I pray for every person with their hands lifted, not to me, but they're lifted to you, God. I thank you, Father, that even right now, God, you are beginning to bring ease to every awkward transition. Father God, the things that they have to walk away from, the things that they have to walk into, the things, Father, and the people that they have to let go of. Father, even some of the dreams that they have to allow to die. Father, I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you are beginning to give boldness to your people right now. In the name of Jesus, boldness to trust you, boldness to step out in faith, boldness to continue, boldness to walk out their freedom. And God, I thank you that the habits, the hobbies, the things, Father God, that have kept them in one place, I thank you that they're being removed in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that every person that is ready to receive, Father, is coming into the knowledge, and they will not stop. Holy Spirit, if you are for us, who can be against us? God, I thank you, Father, that you're now calming people's minds, their hearts. God said he's given peace that's passing your understanding. Peace of God coming to these people. Father, I thank you that all worry, all fear, I'm coming to cancel the fear of failure right now. Some of you say, well, it'll work for a minute, but what if I mess up? God says I'm canceling the fear of failure right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare right now that these people that are standing here saying that they need you, Father, I thank you, Father, that this is a transformation moment. That whole families are being changed right now. Household salvation is coming. Pains are leaving. Healing is coming. Habits are falling off. Holy Spirit, I thank you that this next season of our lives, Father, will be so fruitful, because we know who goes before us, and we know who comes after us, and we know who's with us right now. I speak success and victory over the lives of your people. And God, I command and believe right now that purpose will come to pass in their lives.
Holy Spirit, do this, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we agree. Somebody should give God a shout of praise. No. Now I want you to hear me say this very clearly. The only way this works again is obedience. So after you come up for a prayer like this, then God's going to start giving you instructions. I'm going to be very clear. You're going to get up tomorrow and God's going to say, read this in the Bible. God, I don't even know if that's in the Bible. Thank God for Google. So then you can go ahead and type it in Google, find the scripture and read it. Well, God, I read it. I didn't feel nothing. Read it again. God, I read it again. I didn't feel nothing. Read it tomorrow. Then wait for the next instruction. Well, the voice of God kind of sounds like me to me. Yeah, that's how he's going to speak to you in your most familiar voice. It sounded like me. What would the you that used to be, would have told you to do that? No. Does everybody understand? God said, give that away. Your old you is selfish. You wouldn't have told you to do that. You got. So I want you to listen, because your obedience now is attached to a blessing. And I'm telling you, there's about to be freedom that comes to you. I speak success over every person in this room. That when you face an awkward transition, man of God, I don't know who you are right here in the maroon. But there's been several awkward transitions that you've been through, and it's almost been literally life crushing. It's like just been discouraging. I don't know you from anybody. But God said that now that you know that he's got you, that the things that should have took you out, you're still here. Like you should be somewhere just sulking over everything you lost, off of all the missed opportunities, off of all the people who passed you by and didn't look at you. And God said, but you're still here. He said, I'm your God. And I'm the God of every awkward transition. And because now you know, he said, listen, this next 12 months, he said that he's about to redeem the time. The stuff that should have happened is about to happen. The things you should be have, the finances you should have. Literally, I'm telling you, everything in your life is about to double and quadruple. Somebody needs to take that man to lunch. Because everything in your life is about to double and quadruple. And watch. You're not going to have to figure it out. God's going to tell you. And all you have to do is obey. Father, I thank you that my brother obeys you. Father God, that even just by me saying this today and hearing your voice, Father God, he knows that you're with him. Thank you for purpose. In Jesus' name, we agree. Amen. I just have to minister to two more people that I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to minister to, okay? So very clearly, my brother right here, okay? Don't know you from anybody. But God said the past has literally had a hold on your future. The past has literally, it's like your future. It's like I see a runner ready to run, but somebody has a rope around you and they're holding you back. But God says today by his Spirit, he cuts the ties. No, I literally see it. He said the people and the things that have been holding you to the past, today you're free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now look at me. The fear has been that you would not be anybody if you followed God, because you were somebody when you didn't follow God. I don't know you from nobody. But God said that you've had significance in your past life. People respected you. God said, give me 1 year of your life. And see, will I not elevate you to places that no man can do, that no man can open? I will open doors that no man can open and shut doors that no man can shut. I will begin to pour out my Spirit on you. And I see like literally a wisdom that God's going to give you in the word as you begin to read it. That's going to be able to translate through music, through internet, through television. I mean, he's literally going to give you ideas and it's going to happen, but it's going to be because you obeyed him. Father, I pray for the audacity for this man of God. Just lift your hands for me, brother, to trust you. Thank you that the ties are broken in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that he finds his significance in you. I trust you and I believe you for it, God. In Jesus' name, we agree. Somebody should rejoice with this, brother. Amen. And I think my last one. Are you guys a couple? Okay. So, are you guys married or are you guys... Okay, you're married. Okay, how long have you been married? 8 months. God, stupid with this, y'all. Because watch what I'm about to tell you. God said that he's about to give you influence as an interracial couple in this city. In the city. Not in a church. In the city. He's about to elevate you to places where he's going to allow people to see you. They have to see you because you have a pure heart and you have an integrous spirit. And literally, I'm telling you, people are about to start telling, like, calling y'all, will you just stand on stage with me when I do this? Can you be the face of this? Do you want to hold this money? Do you, I literally see God elevating you into positions of not control, but places of influence. Because there's going to come a time in the next 5 years that God's going to put something on your heart. And you're going to go to every area of influence and they are going to fund what God tells you to do. No. Thank you, Lord. So I want to say this last thing to you. There's a family member that's in your ear that's discouraging you. They don't give you full approval. Kind of negative, doubting. And you've kind of just tuned it out, but God said he's going to restore it, the relationship. He's going to, some things that you've needed since you were a young man, some things that you don't even talk about, that affirmation, that there's a certain family member, I don't know who it is, but there's a certain family, and God said through your obedience, he's going to restore the relationship. They're going to see how God's worked in your life, and they're going to begin, thank you, Holy Spirit, and they're going to begin to turn their life around. You're going to be an example to them, and it's going to literally change their entire life. Father, I pray for this amazing couple right here in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that even in this, even as their shirts say that they can't stop, Father, I thank you, Lord, that it won't stop, that you're about to elevate them and put them in the levels of influence, Father, and they will never forget who did it. They will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Now, Father, I thank you for good stewardship in the name of Jesus. Everything that touches their hands in the name of Jesus, I command it to be blessed in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that these two are your children and you put them together for such a time as this, and they will succeed because you've called them to. In Jesus' name we agree. Can we give God some glory right now? Somebody say, take my Father God, I thank you for the plan of God on this young man's life. I literally see an entire generation being saved through you. I don't know who you are either, but the call of God is heavy on your life, son. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that no plan of the enemy can come to take him out. I cover his mind. I speak against pornography and lust. In the name of Jesus, heal hurts. And I thank you, Father, that he falls in love with your word. God said he's about to give you abilities that you didn't even pay for. Like it's generational abilities. Like there's stuff that you're going to be able to do that you didn't even have to work at. And God said it's going to be your platform. I see a whole generation being saved through you, sir. Serve God all the days of your life. You hear me? Amen. I love you, brother. Amen. Last thing, TJ and Courtney, come here real quick. I don't like to make things annual, but I prayed for y'all last year, and I just feel led to pray for you again. Because what God said is, there's another level of responsibility coming. Okay? Now, I'm not saying a title, I'm not saying anything, but there's another level of responsibility. God's going to allow you to feel the weight of the next before you ever walk into any role. He's about to give you the burden to pray. He's going to give you the burden to fast. He's going to give you the burden. And see, this is that awkward moment. This is the time when people are like, the whole team is like, let's go out for pizza. And you're going to have to sit there and not eat. They're going to be like, Pastor TJ, what's going on, man? We was going to pay for it and everything. But what God is doing is, and you cannot act like it's a struggle. God's about to call y'all to another level of responsibility. The next 12 months are going to require a lot of y'all. Okay? But he's going to give you a burden that's going to change lives. Before I talk to y'all, let me talk to anybody who's gap 412. If you're a part of that ministry, just lift your hand. Okay? Everybody or a part of this church, you have a responsibility to pray for these two. No, I'm not playing. Like, I'm not talking about like, oh, God bless TJ, bless Courtney. Not that. I'm talking about God has you in a room for an hour, just speaking in your heavenly language, touching a picture on Facebook of them. Hear me. I want you to be serious. Because literally there's going to come so much revelation, insight, and literally you're going to change in this next 12 months. I want to tell you, how you do everything right now is going to change. Everything. How you worship, how you lead worship, how you prepare for sermons, how you run meetings, everything is about to change. And you've been secretly asking God, I know this isn't it. I know, but I'm doing the best that I can. But what God is about to do is he's about to give you people and resources to change your mind. And I see it as clear as day. Everything's about to change. I know even my involvement in your life has to be greater because there's some impartation. God's about to do a quick work in 12 months. I mean, literally, who y'all are looking at right now, next year, you'll say they are completely different people. And so right now, I'm going to pray for courage because you're going to need courage for this next season. And all of you have a responsibility to in courage. See, it takes courage to do what these two are doing, to have a conference, to pray, to do all this other stuff. It takes courage. But what you can do, you don't got to be a pastor, a prophet, a priest, a rabbi. You can encourage. Pastor TJ, you're doing a great job. Hey, Sister Courtney, you messed up on that this Sunday, but nobody noticed. But do you see what I'm saying? Encourage. Because you're going to need a lot of courage for this next season. Lift your hands right now. Father, I pray for Courtney. I pray for TJ. Holy Spirit, I thank you for an impartation. Father, what you've put on my life, I thank you that it's on his life and in an even a greater dimension. God, I thank you that the grace you put on my wife's life, you're putting it on Courtney's life right now in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that the title of this conference was really prophetic for you guys. Because there's been times where you thought you were going to stop and maybe you were going to do something else, but God says you can't stop. Father, I thank you for the courage to be able to follow you when nobody else is doing it, to blaze trails, Father God, where there's only dirt. God, I thank you, Father, that they will be able to construct super highways of salvation where there's nothing right now, Father God. I thank you that you will use these two, Father God, to bring thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands into your kingdom. But I pray for humility. Nothing will ever be able to separate their love. I pray for their marriage. Hold hands right there. Father, I thank you, God, that you're about to, God said he's going to give you a love you haven't had the entire marriage. That he's about to bring you into another level of commitment and another level of enjoyment. Father God, bless them. And Father God, for their future seed, when that time comes, I thank you for provision. God, I thank you that everything that they need, everything that they desire, I even hear you saying we don't have enough to have a child right now. We don't have enough money. God says as you step out, he's going to provide everything that you need. God, I pray for TJ and I pray for Courtney. These are your children. Bless them is our prayer. Come on, somebody say bless them. Bless them, God. We're asking you to bless them, Father.
And we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Bless everybody that is here today. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Father, I thank you that we serve the God of awkward transitions, and we will make it to our purpose and our destiny. In Jesus' name, we agree. Why don't you give God a shout of praise in this building?
Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Michael Todd one time.